Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're turning through to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, but before I read our passage, as always, let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that we can gather together like this online and be able to watch material and watch devotions and feed ourselves, and we pray that as we turn to your word that you would indeed feed us by your own hand through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and we're looking at the first two verses today. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. One question I've frequently been asked, whether it's one-on-one or whether it's in a Q&A panel or something like that, is, do I believe that once saved, always saved? Maybe you've heard that phraseology before. Maybe someone said that to you. Maybe someone's accused you. Oh, you're one of those people that believes once saved, always saved. People are often shocked by my response, because I frequently will say, no, I do not believe once saved, always saved. And the reason is it entirely depends what you mean by that. Do you mean by that, that those that are elect of the Father, justified through the Son, sanctified through the Spirit, are saved once they're saved? Yes, by all means, I believe that. If you mean by that, once a person makes a confession of faith, they're guaranteed to be saved, then no, I don't believe that. And this is why it's so important for us to understand the nature of the gospel and to understand our part in walking in the gospel. And so Paul says to the Corinthians, let me remind you of the gospel. And I have to say, as a preacher, this is such a joy to be able to remind people of the good news of Jesus Christ, to be able to remind people of the love of the Father, that He would elect and choose a people for Himself, that He would send His one and only Son, that people like I and you might be saved, that the Father and the Son would send the Spirit that He might indwell us and sanctify us and purify us and present us to God. It's a glorious thing. And not only is it a glorious thing to proclaim, it's a glorious thing to be reminded of. Don't despise the preacher who reminds you of the good old truths of the gospel. I'll never forget the time I preached a very basic gospel sermon. And one of my elders, a very seasoned man, came up to me and said to me, Logan, I never tire of hearing the gospel. It's just such a delight to my heart. Well, may we all have that attitude. But notice here what Paul says about our response to the gospel. He says to them, I would remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received. Past tense. So as I preach the gospel, you received it. And here we see our first response, the first thing necessary for us as we hear the gospel, it is to receive it. To receive it as something that comes from God. To receive it as the only hope of salvation. But then he moves beyond the past. You received it, Corinthians, but, he continues and says, in which you stand. So present, he says, you received it back then when I proclaimed it, and now you stand in it. It's not that you received it once, said a prayer or made a confession or walked to the front of a church or something like that. No, you received it and now you stand in it. You carry on in it. So you can think of the guard out the front of the palace in England. And as the guard stands there on duty, he doesn't just stand there once and then walk off. No, he remains there until the job is done. But then Paul moves from the present into the future. He says, which you received, past tense, in which you stand, present tense, and then by which you are being saved. By which you are being saved. So now he picks up the present continuous action leading into the future. This gospel is not just a one-time action which you can ignore but rather it is a present reality that is working out in your life. The good news of Christ comes to you, you receive it, and then it continues to work within you to bring you all the way to salvation. So it's not that it starts you on the race and you run the rest, but rather the gospel carries you all the way home. But then Paul puts a conditional on this. He says, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. What's he getting at here? What he's effectively putting down here is the only foolproof evidence that a person has been saved. What is the only foolproof evidence that a person has been saved? It's that they persevere to the end. You see, you've got to remember, we're not thinking here from God's perspective. We're not looking at the gospel from God's perspective, but from our perspective. We run into many people, well, maybe not many, but we run into people that at one time were among us, as John says, but have gone out from us. Maybe you have family members like this, who started the race in the church. I think of aunties and uncles, and I think of brothers, and I think of other friends who have been in the church. They've maybe been baptized, they've maybe professed their faith, maybe for a time they've walked in the church, maybe they've been elders or deacons or ministers, and yet later in their life they've fallen away and rejected the gospel. You see, the only true proof and evidence that a person has believed the gospel is that they not only receive it, not only stand in it, not only are being saved in it, but they hold fast to it. They hold fast to the gospel. They persevere to the very end. And if they don't, what does it show? It shows that they've believed in vain. You see, those people that have fallen away, the problem is not that God's gospel wasn't big enough to save them. It's not that God couldn't hold on to them. It's that rather with emptiness, with vanity, they believed. It's not that their belief wasn't big enough, but rather that they never really truly believed at all. And so the great instruction in this for us, the great application, the great use for us, is a simple question. Will we persevere to the end? Now, I know we don't save ourselves, but we are called to hold fast to the word that was preached to us. And so let me simply ask you, will you persevere to the end? Will you lay hold of the gospel and live in it, walk in it, abound in it, until the day of our Lord's returning? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that as we head into this chapter, that you would indeed remind us of it. Would you help us, by your grace, to persevere to the end? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.